We are going to be in the book of Ephesians tonight, Ephesians chapter 2, and we are going to concentrate our thoughts tonight primarily on verses 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, although we will retreat just a bit and get some of those earlier verses in that chapter as well. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Let's pray, then we'll read the text, and hopefully the Lord will enable us to dive into this text and be helped and blessed by it. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you tonight for your kindness and your goodness. You have given us a good day together this morning and again tonight, and we are grateful for the fellowship that we enjoy with our brothers and sisters in Christ. There is nothing better on earth than that. And that is possible because of your love toward us, the work of Christ for us on the cross. And we are so thankful and grateful for what you have done for us, that which we could not and cannot do for ourselves. So God, as we open your word tonight, we pray that it would go forth with power, that you would open the ears of those that are here to hear, who are eager to hear your word, eager to receive your truth, and eager to see you in the text. So God, I pray they would not leave disappointed tonight, but God, that you would supply everything they need, and you would be glorified in and through the reading and the preaching of your word. May you cause them to hear a better message than will be preached. For your glory and for your sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. Paul writes, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For, or because, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. We're looking at these texts in the scriptures where God says who we are, so that there is no confusion about our identity in Christ. We have seen that God says that we are in Christ new creatures. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. So those of us who are saved have experienced regeneration or the new birth. We are not products of reformation or remodeling. We are new creatures in Christ, old things passing away. All things have become new. We also saw that we are the children of God. As children of God, we remember there was a time when we were not the children of God. We are reminded that we are now, presently, the children of God if we have trusted in Jesus Christ. And as a result of being His children now, when He returns, we will see Him as He is, and we will be like Him. So as good as it is to be a child of God, God has greater things planned for us. And then last week, we saw that we are lively stones given life in the building by the living stone, who is Christ. We are built up into a spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving that are acceptable to God through and by Jesus Christ. So we're new creations, we're children of God, we are lively stones. Tonight, I want to say some things about us being the workmanship of God and what that means. And so to get to the meaning of that, we sort of have to walk through this text and understand what Paul is trying to get across. So that's what we want to try to do tonight. So I want to look at salvation because that's what it's talking about. We are his spiritual workmanship. And if we are saved, we are saved by his works. So let's look here at the subjects of salvation. The subjects of salvation. Verse 8, Paul says, "For by grace are you saved." And that word "for" there means because, which would cause us to say that there is a context in which Paul is saying that we are saved by grace. And the context in which Paul says that we are saved by grace is that all fallen human beings, all men and women, boys and girls, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, male and female, every person in this world from every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation, everyone but one is dead in sins. Say amen. Is dead in trespasses, is dead in transgressions, and stand in need of saving. Let's go back and let's read verses 1 through 7. Verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according." Now here's what it means to be dead spiritually. You in time past walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we have our text, "For by grace are you saved through faith." So everyone but one is born dead in their trespasses and their sins and are in need of saving. Say amen. The one who is not dead in sin is Jesus Christ. For he was dead for sin. He was killed for sin, not because of his own sin. He was raised for our justification, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 4. So when Paul reminds us here that we have been saved by grace, he is reminding us because he wants us to know what we have been saved from. He tells us first that God has saved us from spiritual death, and that spiritual death means that we were alienated from God. God is the source of life, yes? And if we are truly alive, we must know God. So if we are dead in sin, we are separated from Him. You are spiritually dead and alienated from God. You do not have any spiritual life that only comes from Christ. To be dead in our sins is a description of all of those who are separated or apart from Christ. Everyone who does not know Christ is dead spiritually. Because to know God is to be spiritually alive. And to not know Him is to be spiritually dead. Even though they may be walking and even though they may be talking and breathing, spiritually they are dead without Christ. And the fact is, they may be well thought of, they may have lots of friends, they may have plenty of money, but they're dead. Spiritually, they have no spiritual life because they don't know life. They don't know God through Christ. So what have we been saved from? We have been saved from this spiritual death. We have been saved from this alienation from God. We've also been saved from rebellion against Him. Remember how He put it in verse 2. You formerly walked according to the course of this world. And the course of this world is in direct opposition and rebellion against God. When and whether that's passive or whether that's active, whether that's externally evident or not, those who are dead in their trespasses and sins are in rebellion against God. They're walking according to the course of this world and not walking to the course of God. And when the opportunity comes to follow God or follow the world, they always choose to follow the world. But we're not only in rebellion against God, but Paul tells us we are enslaved to the world. When we thought we were free, you remember when you finally thought you were free? You moved out of your parents' house and now you were free. We weren't free, right? When we chose the world and not God in thinking we were exercising our free will, when we thought we were liberating ourselves from the rules of those that were around us, and we chose to live however we chose to live, we weren't indeed free. We were simply deluded, deceived. Because Paul says we weren't free at all. We were enslaved. We were enslaved to the influences of the world. We were being conformed by the world to the world. We thought we were free, and those who are being conformed to the world, they think they're free, but they're really not free. They're being conformed. They're being put in a mold and made like the world. And so we who are saved, Paul says, we have been saved out of this enslavement. We have been saved out of this slavery to the world and to the flesh and to Satan. And we're saved from the condemning judgment of God. Because that's the right judgment upon us, right? We are condemned because of our deadness and because of our enslavement and because of our going in the world's direction. We who have been made for His glory, we who have been designed to do good, have rebelled against Him, have sought life apart from Him, and have said what the world says today, we don't need Him. We'll have it our way. We think there's life apart from Christ, and there is not. In other words, we think we can be our own God. And, of course, that brings us under the condemnation, the judgment of God. And we all dishonor God in that state. And it's not only that God has condemned us, but we deserve to be condemned. Every last one of us deserves to be condemned. Not just some of us, not just most of us, not just Bob. All of us. Now that's how God, through Paul, to the church at Ephesus, describes how we were and how we have been saved from that, right? So we have been saved from spiritual death. We have been saved from rebellion against God. We have been saved from slavery to the world, and we have been saved from God's judgment. And in the final analysis, Paul is saying that we have been saved from God. Did you hear what I said? The question of what we have been saved from is simple. We have been saved from God. We have been saved from falling into the hands of an angry God. We have been saved from falling into the hands of a righteous and just God when we have no defense. So ultimately, we've not simply been saved from our sin, we have been saved from that. We've also not only been saved out of our rebellion and slavery, we have been saved from falling into the hands of a just God without one single defense. And if you don't understand that, if you don't get that, you won't understand the message of the gospel. You won't understand the good news that God gives us through Jesus Christ. So in saying, for by grace you have been saved, Paul wants us to understand what we have been saved from. We've been saved from sin. We've been saved from death. We've been saved from rebellion. We've been saved from slavery. And we have been saved from God's condemnation. And ultimately, we have been saved from God Himself. I wonder if we tell anybody that. God is angry at the wicked. God hates the wicked. He's angry with the wicked. We'll ultimately send the wicked to spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire, right? Who does that? God does that. We all need saved from God. Number two. Not only does Paul here remind us that we have been saved by grace, pointing us back to what we have been saved from, but secondly, we see the source of salvation, or who saves us, or how we are saved. Now, a lot of people get the first one wrong, right? But a lot more people get this one wrong. Because Paul wants us to see not only what we have been saved from, but how we have been saved if we're saved. By what or by whom have we been saved? And there are a lot of people who think they save themselves. But Paul wants us to understand that it is God who saves us through Jesus Christ. We have not saved ourselves. We have not even cooperated in our own salvation. God saves us Notice what he says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not your faith. Right? That faith does not come from you. Neither does that grace come from you. You are saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. What is it? It is a gift to you from whom? God. And it is not of any works of yourselves. Because if it was 1 ounce of your work included in it, you would have reason to stand and boast. But you have no reason to stand and boast. It's not of your works, because you are His workmanship. Paul says, we have been saved by the grace of God. We have been saved by the unmerited favor of God that is shown to us. And you need to understand how it is that you were saved. Do not look toward yourself. Look to God's free grace that He has given to you as a gift. In other words, God has shown you favor when you did not deserve it, that you did not earn it, that you did not merit it. In fact, He not only showed you favor that you did not deserve, He actually showed us favor that we had disqualified ourselves to get by our rebellion against Him. By our alienation, by our walking according to the world, by walking according to the flesh and the devil, we had disqualified ourselves from God, yet He lavished His grace and favor on us. So your salvation and my salvation is not something that we have obtained by doing something. It is something that we have received by believing. Paul is emphasizing our passive reception of something that is given to us by God. It is not something that you went out and pulled yourself up by your bootstraps and God. It's not something that you have accomplished on your own might by staying up late at night and working hard and trying better and keeping your nose to the grindstone. It's something you have simply received from the gracious hand of God. Your salvation is received by faith. It's not gained by doing something. In other words, you were saved through the instrument of faith or trust. You trusted God, right? You trusted Christ. You had to throw up your hands and say, there's nothing I can do. Say amen. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. So you're saved not by your doing, not by your worthiness, but by God's grace received by trust. The whole of salvation, the entirety of salvation, is God's gift to you. It's not your gift to yourself. It's a gift that God has given to you. It's God's gift. So he says, you want to know how your salvation was accomplished? You want to know how you were saved from your deadness and your rebellion? And he says, look to God's grace. You received it by trust. You received it by faith. It is a free gift, and God has granted it to you out of His graciousness. And in case you're not getting that, in case that's not resonating with you, he says your salvation is not due to in any way whatsoever to your works or to your doing. Your salvation is not a result of any work that you do in any way. In other words, if you want to look at how you're saved, you cannot look at yourself. Do not look at your works, for we are His workmanship. That is such an extraordinary statement. is it not? That you are His workmanship. The point that Paul was making here is that our salvation is not the product of our workmanship. I'm not saved because what I do. I'm not saved by my works. My salvation, your salvation, is a product of what He does. What He has accomplished. The works that He has done. Say amen. You were saved because of works. It's just not your works. It's His works. Say amen. If you were to tell someone, we're saved by works, that's correct. It's just not our works by which we're saved. It's by the works of God through Jesus Christ. And the entirety of our salvation, the entirety of our spiritual livelihood is the product of God's workmanship. We are the products of what God does. You are saved by God's unmerited favor. You received that favor through faith or trust. You did not do anything to earn it. You did not do anything to deserve it. You just received it when you trusted in God, and God gave you something that you didn't reserve. It was God's gift. It was not your gift. It was not done by you or by your works or by your life. Your work as a saved sinner is the result of God's workmanship for you, not your own. Paul's point is this. You have been saved from God by God. God has saved you from Himself. Say amen. You see, we don't realize the awfulness of falling into the hands of an angry God. But God does. Yes? And God loves you enough to save you from Himself. By Himself. It is God's grace that has saved you. So when we are called God's workmanship, what God is saying is, what you are, I have made you that. If you are a child of God, if you are a new creature in Christ, if you are a lively stone, I have made you that. You are my workmanship, God says. You are my workmanship. You are the product of my work, of my accomplishments. Not your own. And if you think that you're in a position where you can help yourself in any way, spiritually, then you do not understand the gravity of the condition that you're in. Say amen. For me to say, I have a part in my salvation, it's for me not to understand the gravity of the situation that I'm in. It's not to understand the hopelessness that I have, the sinfulness, the depravity that I am in. The only hope that we have is to cry out to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Cast our burdens on Him, trust in Him, and receive from Him something that you can't give yourself, something that only He can do for you. Amen? So, Paul says, you have been saved from God by God. And then there's a third point. This is what I call the sphere of salvation. Or, why have we been saved? If God has saved me from Himself, if I have been saved from God by God, why did God do that? Now, I heard some preacher, I don't know who it was, I forget now. Sometimes, you know, this forgetting thing is probably pretty good. But this preacher was saying things. I don't know if he was praying or saying something. I forget now. But anyway, he happened onto the thought of that we were worthy for Christ to come and die on the cross for? And I said, no. Christ, God did not save me from himself by himself because he thought I was worthy. Look what he says. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. And these good works that we have been created in Christ Jesus to do, God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So Paul wants us to understand we have been saved from God, by God, but he wants us to understand for what purpose God has done that work. Why? Why has God made us his workmanship? What is the purpose behind that? Not so that we can live our lives any way that we want to. Not because he wants us to be happy. If we are truly saved, if we have been saved from God, by God, we're going to be those who show our love to him in responding to his grace by joyfully embracing his will as it is taught to us in his word. So we are going to be saved not by our good works, but to good works. Say amen. We are not saved because we've done good works. We are saved because God would have us to do good works. Are you with me? Now understand something. When God saved you from slavery, he didn't make you a free person. You become the slave of Christ. We are saved because God would have us to do good works. And these good works are the result of salvation, not the cause of salvation. Are you with me? In other words, this is what happens sometimes. Sometimes people do what they feel are good works, thinking those are going to somehow help them spiritually with God, and they won't. We're not saved by good works. We're saved so that we may do good works. It is why God saves us. It's not that God will save us if we do enough good works, or that God will save us if we do enough good works to balance out our bad works, or that God will save us if we are sincere enough in wanting to do good works, or that in addition to God's grace, some of our good works together with what God has done in Christ would cause salvation. None of that is correct. Say amen. And 85% of Americans believe that we're saved by good works. Or at least have some contribution to it. What Paul says is no. You are his workmanship. You're not saved by good works. God has saved you to good works. We are saved wholly and totally by the grace of God through the work of Christ, so that we would be obedient, joyfully obedient, delighting in the law of God, loving to do good works, loving God, loving our neighbor, caring for one another, looking after one another, showing the love of Christ in every facet of our life, showing the real gospel humility to show love for sinners. We're saved for that, not by that, but for that. And the Apostle Paul is teaching us here that we're not only saved from God, by God, but we are saved for God. That's the thing. He saves us so that we might commune with Him, walk with Him in obedience to His Word. Why did God save me? Why would a king, right? That's the song. Why would a king bleed and die for me? Because he knew the awfulness of standing before him in your sins. So he saves you. You're saved from God by the work of God in Jesus Christ for the purpose and the reason for him. I'm his. Say amen. I'm his. He has bought me. And he has not bought me with things such as gold and silver. No, he's bought me with the precious blood of his son. I'm not my own anymore. Do you understand that? Salvation means I'm not my own anymore. I am a possession of God. He has saved me for himself. Do you notice here in the text our former manner of life apart from Christ? Do you remember what he said in those earlier verses? The way we used to be apart from Christ. What was that? We were walking in the way of the world in unrighteousness and disobedience. But our new manner of life in Christ, saved from God, by God, is a walk of grace. It's a walk of obedience. It's not walking according to the world. It's walking according to good works. Loving God, loving your neighbor, loving your brother and sister in Christ because of the grace of God. I don't know how we ever came to the place where we have made salvation simply something that is a transaction that we do that makes no change in our life whatsoever. Where did that come from? God didn't just save me to be saving me. God didn't save me because he thinks I'm worthy of saving. God saved me for himself. We are his workmanship. And I know that that's what I am because God says that's what I am. We are saved from God, by God. But do not forget you were saved for God. And our lives are to be lived in obedience and joyfully walking and communing with him. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for us being your workmanship. It is by grace that we're saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not by our works, or else we would have reason to boast. We are the products of the work of God. And I thank you for that. And may you use us as your workmanship for the glory of God. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Amen.